perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
All coming down from God out of heaven. The walls are of jasper, the gates are of pearl, the streets of pure gold. He tells of a pure river of life that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we're known as we're known. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river, where loved ones dwell, who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore. If you leave me standing here on this earth, just wait by the river. It's such a good place for us to meet over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find our dad and mother. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore.
Should you go first, and I would remain just to walk the road alone. I live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring I watch for the roses red, when fades the lilac blue. And in early fall, when the brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first, then I would remain to finish with a scroll. No lengthening shadows shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much of happiness. We've had our cup of joy. But memory is one gift of God that even death cannot destroy. Should you go first, then I would remain for the battles to be fought. Each thing you touched along the way, there'll be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice, I'll see your smile, and though blindly I may grope, but the memories of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first and I would remain, one thing I'd have you do, just walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. I want to know each step that you take, that I may walk the same. For someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name. of life has shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim. Remember, God still loves you, and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Just reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
You know you've searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems that confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need Him,
claim the precious blood stain.
I do not know how others make it through to never go to Calvary as I do. For there the healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Book of John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. I will be preaching on that possibly next Sunday. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifestation forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This morning I am setting before you six water pots. I want you to just let your dramatated mind go free and think with me just for a moment that there are six water pots sitting here on this altar. And I want to be asking you the question, what do you want to put in the water pots? Now remember that from the water pots are going to come a miracle. Whatever is put into the water pots is going to be changed. So this morning, if I had my opportunity to put anything in this water pot, the first thing I would want to put in that water pot is my sin. The Bible said we have all sinned. We have all come short to the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus said, the wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life. All men are born in sin. And this morning, if you're here and you have never confessed Christ, you are a sinner. You were born in sin. No, not because you wanted to, but because of the nature that is within you. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So this morning, I'm inviting you, if you don't know Christ, to put your sins in the water pot. Because the Bible said, for behold, now we become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And if there's anything you need, first of all, is to be rid of your sin. We wonder, what is the problem? And sure enough, we could discuss the problem. We could discuss the war problem, and we could discuss the drug problem. We could discuss the alcoholic problem, the prostitution problem. We could talk about all these problems, but remember, if there was no sin, we would not have these problems. Sin is the cause and the number one cause of every problem that we have. I remember that George Whitfield, and I've told this story so many times, but it's a wonderful story. George Whitfield, the great missionary and evangelist all over London and England and America, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a great and wonderful calling that really is. But his message was always, you must be born again. And so George Whitfield goes to this city, and he preached that same sermon, you must be born again. And a gentleman decided one day, I will ask George Whitfield, why do you always preach on you must be born again? So he approaches George Whitfield with that question. And he said to George Whitfield, why are you always preaching on you must be born again? And George Whitfield looked at this gentleman and said, because, sir, you must be born again. And I'm telling you this morning, you must be born again. Sin must be forgiven. Either sin will have to be forgiven, it will have to be pardoned, or it will have to be punished. And I want you this morning, God is giving you an opportunity. Just as He filled the water pots with water and a miracle happened and it became wine, He can take all of your sin. He can take every sin that you've ever committed. He can take your sin and He can forgive it through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you must be born again. We as Christian people have a doubt problem. And that doubt problem needs to be put in the barrel. We're going to put a barrel on the altar and we're going to ask you to bring all of your doubts, and put them on the altar. What is a doubt, preacher? Have you ever stopped to think about it? A doubt is a condition of being uncertain or not yet decided. And a lot of people, even Christian people, are battling the thing called doubt. Now, my definition of doubt is this. There are four different kinds of believers. Can you imagine that? Four different kinds of believers in the Christian world. First of all, there's the make-believer. There are some people who are making you to think that they are born again when truly the blood has never yet been applied. I say that with all due decency. You become a make-believer. Everybody thinks that you are holy, that you have accepted Christ, and you're the most righteous person they ever met. But don't forget, the eyes of God are upon you. God does not look upon the outward appearance. You may give to every sobriety, you may give of your money, you may give of your time, you may give of your tithes, but you're only going through the motion. You are no more than a make-believer. Everybody thinks that you're right with God, but you're making yourself to become a doubting fool to do that. because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I respect the positive unbeliever much more. A man that says, I don't believe it. Isn't that what Thomas said? When they came to Thomas and said, he has risen. Thomas did not beat around the bush. Thomas said, I don't believe it. Unless I see it, I will not believe it. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, my friend, but I don't want to take it on your word. I trust you. I love you. I depend upon you. But my soul hangs in the balance. I must have absolute evidence. I cannot take the chance of believing what you say and rejecting the Bible and neglecting my soul because the Bible tells me that the soul that sinned is going to surely die. So I become an unbeliever of the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you something about the Bible. And I want you to take this one home with you. When you start in the beginning of that Bible, and you begin with in the beginning, and when you end up with the last amen, if there's anything in that Bible that you don't believe, then you don't believe any of it. Because that every word, every I, every T is important to your soul. But we become an unbeliever. When people don't confess Christ, it means they don't believe Christ. They don't believe the sins can be forgiven. And then there's those people who live in the dangerous area of thinking that they're believers. You mean to tell me that you can think that you are a Christian and not be a Christian? Well, why did Jesus say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? You see, because our mind can be thoughts of God, but our hearts are far from us. The Ethiopian comes riding through the desert. A man is riding along, reading the Bible. Philip approaches the man, and he says, sir, do you understand what you are reading? And the man made the statement, how can I, except some man would show me? How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? You know what this man was? He was a man with a Bible in his hand without God in his heart. And we can be like that. We can think that we're right with God. But thinking is not enough. We have got to know beyond a shadow of doubt that we are believers in Christ. We either believe God or we don't believe God. There is no ifs, buts, and ands about it, because doubt is the thing that says, except I can see, I will not believe. I am not going to take it as your word. I'm going to take it as God's word. God said to me many years ago, back in 1962, He said, if you would confess your sin, I would be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And I've never doubted that. I always hold God fast to His promise. I said, God, you promised me that you would save me if I confessed it. I confess it. I'm a sinner. Now save me. And this morning, we're going to take this thing called doubt, and we're going to put that in the water pot. Doubt needs to be put in the water pot so that God can change your heart and change your mind. Not only that, but we're going to open up another pot, and that called the pot of cares. Have you ever sung the song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus? A man walks in a restaurant one time, a very prompt gentleman. He had had a great ministry, a great family, a great home. He had everything that anyone would need. But temptation came one day, and he was not able to withstand the temptation. When temptation is temptation, it is not sin. Temptation is not sin until it is yielded to. And he yielded to that temptation. And it wasn't long. He lost his home, he lost his family, he lost his chair, his church, and now he's left with nothing but a vagabond. He even moved to another country, to another town, because he felt he could escape the past. Well, you can't escape the past, sir, sometime, ma'am. It's hard to escape what has already happened. So anyhow, this man walks into a restaurant, And lo and behold, here is this gentleman that he had sat under one time while he was preaching. He said to him, he said, "Aren't you so-and-so?" He said, "No." He said, "Oh, I know you are. He said, "No, I'm not. I just look like that gentleman you're talking about." And anyhow, they went on, and the fellow went in the back. He came back out. His beard, his hair is long. He is not the person he used to be. And he comes out to clean off the next table. And the preacher sitting at the table just began to hum that song. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." When all of a sudden, the evidence was given away. Tears began to flow down his cheek. He turned to the man and said, "Yes, sir, I am that man."
Old friend, after all of these years, just old friend, through the laughter and tears, old friend, what a find, what a priceless treasure. Old friend, like a rare piece of gold, my old friend, make it great to grow. Old friend, through it all I will hold.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to
A phone call, a letter, or a pat on the back, or hey, I just dropped by to say, a hand when we're down, a loan when we just couldn't pay. A song of